it's not infrequently occurring in the New Testament that paralysis is linked with sin. You remember this, John 5, the man at the pool there of Bethesda, who was paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus healed him. And he said, now be careful. Don't sin again, or something worse could happen to you. You remember that? Here we have this story again of paralysis and sin. And there's at least one example that comes to mind in the book of Acts. I think it takes place when Paul has landed finally on the island of Malta. And he sees someone paralyzed, and he sees that they have faith, and he heals him. So that the physical expresses the spiritual. Our sins can paralyze us, literally, but also spiritually. The body is a symbol of much spiritual reality. Some of this dimension is not something we think about a lot. One of the great scholars of the last century has a book on the symbolic use of parts of the body in the scriptures, and what they stand for and what they mean. Hands clean, pure heart. You see, that means your intentions are always directed to God and your actions are always in keeping with that. We had one the other day, if you remember. Your eye is clear, your whole body is sound, remember? And I remember I asked Simona in Arabic, you know, because the idea in Hebrew is it's a shifty, evil eye in an avaricious man. And it's a sad eye, I think she said, in Arabic, you know. Empty, that was the word, empty eye. So here we have this story. This man is paralyzed. He has friends. Big help. For both kinds of paralysis. He has friends. He said Jesus saw their faith. Now what was their faith? They loved their friend, and they knew this person, whoever he was, had some kind of power from God, and they wanted their friend healed. Now Mark, as usual, has many more details in his story. They climb up and they start taking the roof off. Well, you can do that over there because the roofs are made out of intertwined branches with mud. So all you have to do is take the mud off, pull the branches apart, and you got a hole. You can let the man down through. You just imagine the scene, huh? Jesus is talking. The crowd is all in the house and outside the door, and the mud starts falling down. You know, it's a different world, you know. First thing we would do is, you stop that, you know, I'm speaking, you know. He didn't say a word. And so they laid him down, and all he saw was their faith. Now that's an open heart. See, that's a pure heart. He didn't pay attention to the mud falling down and all the rest, and that they're tearing this guy's roof apart. They're not that hard to fix over there either, but all he saw was their faith. So you see how pure his heart is. And so he said, in words that are difficult to translate, courage, child, is pretty good. Your sins are forgiven. They were hoping that the fellow would walk again. And Jesus is talking about sins. Because of this deep connection. And so, your sins are forgiven. Now, this is shocking. Not shocking to us for two reasons. One, we're spoiled because we have confession and we can go. And the other is we don't really think much about sin. They do. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can create, and only God can forgive sin. And both of those words in Hebrew, salach, for forgive, and bara, for create, They never have anyone else for their subject as a verb except God himself. So theologically, in one level, these people are right to be shocked. That they're shocked because this power is in a human being. But the power is divine because Jesus is divine. But one of the purposes of the story is to say that, first place, by the sacraments, human beings can be mediators of forgiveness. Baptism, confession, the last anointing, or the anointing of the sick. You know, in the anointing of the sick, the last thing I do is I'm anointing his palms or her palms and say what? Through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy save you and raise you up. No, it's the other one I say. It's forgive your sins. Now that your sins have been forgiven, may you be that anointing. Now, this is as awesome to us personally as is our understanding of what sin is. And as you know, one of the things Pius XII said was, one of the great sins of our age is that we have lost the sense of sin. Sin is an offense against God. It's not just a mistake. It's not, well, if I do this, I'll get in trouble. It's an offense against God. And why is God offended? A, because he's pure, infinite, beautiful truth, and he's our Father. See, this is what Amos was confronted with, right? The Lord sent him up there to save Israel from going into exile, and they wouldn't listen. Go home and make your money there, prophesying. All I can think of is Amos is after money. Did you ever meet anybody like that? I mean, poor people, they're walking all over the place. The only thing that matters is money. For those of us who saw that movie last night, do you see that? Money. Who's this? The caste system in any country, not just India, is rich and poor. And so, you see, your sins are forgiven. What good news. Our danger is we go to confession like we're going to pay a parking ticket. You know, we've done something wrong, we're going to pay the price, you know, go and pay our $10 to the judge and we're free. And not have any idea that we've sinned. That takes the Holy Spirit. God in his mercy is trying to stop Israel from going into exile. The murder, the rape, the imprisonment that's going to happen to the whole northern kingdom and then 100 and something years later to the south. And God is saying, this is caused by the evil that you set loose. And if you repent, I can stop that evil. It's in Amos. In Amos that begins, for the three sins of Damascus and for the fourth, I will not turn it back, is what it says. Lo eshav. I will not turn it back. What? The evil set loose by our sins. And he goes through, and then what are the sins of Damascus? What are the sins of, and then the sins of Israel. For the three sins of Israel and for the fourth. I will not turn it back. What's the it? The it is the metaphysical consequences of our sins. We have set loose evil in this world, and it will have its way. It'll redound against us, but it will corrupt the world. That's why the saints wanted to be so holy, and why they could want to pray so much. So that the evil set loose by sin would be turned around. That's what God says when he talks about conversion. So, of course, the theologians are all upset because they understand the significance of what he just said. This man says, your sins are forgiven. And then in his mercy for them and for the sick man, he challenges them. He says, and what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? Rise and walk is more challenging. Your sins are forgiven. is harder to bring about. Only God can do that. But it's not controllable. But so that you will know. Notice who? The Son of Man will have power to forgive sins. Has authority on earth. He said to the paralytic, rise, take up your mat and walk. And he rose, took up his mat and walked. That was mercy. Yes, you see, I have the power to forgive sins. And on the cross when I'm dying, I am forgiving sins. And the crowd saw this and glorified God who had given such authority to men. See, the underlying message of this text is God can entrust to us the power of forgiveness. First, sacramentally, in baptism, extreme, you know, anointing of the sick, confession. And the great one, here. We say every day, I am not worthy. What do we say? Lord, I am not worthy. Only say your word, and I shall be healed. Healed of what? Sin. Sin is the cause of all the other evils. And they glorified that. So you see, when our Lord became man, he brought down into human life the divine power to forgive sins and gave it to the church. And we believers have that power to take from others, you know, their sin. Their sins against us, except for the priests who have it because it represents the Lord and the church. But we can lift the burdens off many people if in our hearts we'll forgive them. That's a power. And the wonderful thing is that when we do it, it's lifted off us as well. And that's why the Lord says, the measure you measure out will be the measure you get.